All right, we'll spend some great preaching tonight. If you have y'all's Bibles with you, I'll tell you, you can go ahead and go to Hebrews chapter 3. I'm going to be in verse number 10. All right, well, let me just add this. This is something I was thinking about. Is, you know, I've seen the guys come up and preach tonight, and, you know, we got in this church when I was like 9 or something like that, and it's almost gotten to the point to where I've spent more of my life at this church than I've spent out of this church. And a lot of these men I've spent over half my life with, and I've seen them grow. I've seen the Lord work in their lives, and I've seen them change, and I've seen their hearts grow more fond of the Lord, and I've seen God call them to do things for Him. And it's just always an encouragement to me in these services to see the growth of the Lord amongst the friends that I have in my life. And you know, that kind of shows you, you know, how important it is to pick good friends. This isn't the message, but, you know, as you know, you have friends in your life that you spend time with, that you grow with, and you can either see them, they can either influence you to grow for the, do wrong things, kind of, you know, live for Satan, they can get your mind off of Christ, or you can watch them grow for the Lord, and you can see them encourage you, and you can help them. And CJ, that was a great job, man. I really appreciate that. It's first time preaching. If you haven't preached, you never know how nerve-wracking that can be, and it was good. And so I'm going to go ahead and read the text. It says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their hearts, and they have not known my ways." Then I'm going to do Romans 3:10, 1-3. You don't have to turn there, but the verse says, "Brethren," this is a powerful verse. I found this when I was actually studying for this message. It says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved. For I bear them record that they have a zeal of God, but not according to knowledge. For they, being ignorant of God's righteousness and going about to establish their own righteousness, have not submitted themselves unto the righteousness of God." And, you know, in today's generation, it's obvious, or in every generation, it's obvious that they have their ups and downs when it comes to Christianity. You know, we think, you know, well, people back in the 20s and back in all the Bible day stuff, that, you know, when Jesus was on the earth, he had these people who were wanting to serve them and serve the Lord and grow in the Lord. But when you think about it, that same generation that was on the earth when Christ was on here, that we saw worship him and follow him, that was also the same generation that crucified him on the cross. And so all throughout time, each generation, they're going to have their ups and downs when it comes to their Christianity. And although in today's generation, I will agree, it seems that there's almost no desire whatsoever to serve the Lord. And it's almost as if they don't even understand the ways of the righteous. And that's what makes it that much more important for you and I as Christians to stay faithful and to be teachers of the Word so we can show them the way of the righteous. Like I said, Hebrews 3:10 says, "Wherefore I was grieved with that generation, and said, they do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways." And we can't expect them to live for the Lord when they don't even realize that they're living for the devil. You can't correct a child for doing something wrong when you never told him it was wrong in the first place. You got to teach someone right before they can see that they're wrong. And like I said, so let me give you a few points that the Lord gave me as I wrote this sermon, and then I'll be done. Dear Lord, thank you for this day. Thank you for allowing me to have the opportunity to get behind this pulpit and spread your word, Lord. Thank you for the great men you have allowed to fill this pulpit, Lord, tonight. Thank you for their faithfulness, Lord. And I pray that you be with me as I preach this message, Lord. Take me out of the way, Lord, and help me to say what you'd have me to say, Lord, not what I want, what I would have me to say, Lord. And just be with us, be with the rest of the night, Lord. Help us have a good night. In your name I pray. Amen. And okay, so my first point is, I have 3 points, so it won't take long. Point number one is you were chosen. And 1 Peter 2:9 says, Wherefore, 1 Peter 2:9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of him who hath called you out of the darkness into the marvelous light." And, you know, when I read that verse, really, it was the last part that really kind of jumped out at me. It said that ye should show forth the praises of him who called you out of the darkness into his marvelous light. And God has called us all to be, he's called us all to spread the gospel and reach the lost. And that's why in the first part of this verse, he calls us a chosen generation. When he ascended into heaven, he gave the disciples what we call the Great Commission, which was to go out and spread the gospel, teach the word, and to win other people to Christ. And that mission he gave to them didn't end when the disciples all died off. That's a mission that we ought to carry in our lives as Christians today, and that's something that's going to continue. That's going to be a mission that God has given us. That's going to continue throughout all of time. And this verse tells us of the might and of the mighty to show the mighty things that God has done for us, and showing the mighty things and the miraculous gifts that He has given us. And God's given us eternal life. He's given us a sense of purpose, a heart's desire to do something that we feel like when we do the Lord's will that, you know, we do something that's going to have value and purpose. And He's given us, you know, a peace that passeth all understanding. He's given us so many things. He's given us a church, a pastor, and He's just given us more than we could ever ask for, more than we could ever deserve. And now, just if you think about how selfish would that be of us to keep that from other people? God blesses those who are faithful to Him. He blesses His children. He blesses those who serve the Lord. And these people who don't know the Lord's ways and they don't really understand it. They're not receiving those blessings like you and I would receive. And they see that and they get confused about it. They're like, well, how come that guy over there seems like he's got everything going for him? He's got everything he could ever ask for, but I'm over here and I'm struggling with work and financial. I don't know how I'm going to pay my bills. And they have this worry and stuff. They don't have the same blessings that God has given to us. And I feel like sometimes we have the attitude that, well, you know, I go to church, so I deserve these blessings God's given me. He doesn't. He's a drunk. He shouldn't get those things. But may I remind you that we sin just as much as he does. He's no different. Drunk over there, he's no different than us. We deserve hell just as much as he does. Just because we go to church doesn't make you and I any different. And do you remember how happy you were when someone finally showed you the gospel? They showed you how to be saved. You just got this joy and peace in your heart. And I don't get how someone could even dare call themselves a good Christian when you won't even try to give that to someone else. You think, well, you mean you talk about, you know, salvation's so great. I thank God for my salvation. That makes me so happy. Wouldn't you want someone else to have that same happiness you have? I mean, we have a God of love, and we have a God of compassion, and we have a giving God. And if we were to be like God, we ought to be willing to give that same happiness to someone else that he's given to us. And Luke 10:2 is a very common verse that, you know, you should all know. Let me turn there real quick. It says, therefore said he unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest that he should send forth, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. And God has called you and I to be laborers in his harvest. This verse tells us that the laborers are few. And that verse seems true now more than ever. It seems like every day churches are shutting down their doors. Christians are giving up on God. They're giving their lives to Satan. They're living for the world. They're quitting on the Christian life, and it's too hard. It's too difficult. I don't want to do that anymore. And every day, the devil is stealing more and more people's hearts, and they're taking them away from God. And like I said, that's why it's important that you and I stay faithful to stay faithful to God. And we got to stay faithful to reaching the lost, but it's more than just staying faithful to reaching the lost. It's staying faithful to discipling those who have fallen, those who have maybe given up on God, you know, who used to live for the Lord, and you know, their heart and they're saved and everything, but they've kind of backed away. They've given up. And it's important that you and I, as Christians, we got to disciple those people, and we got to lead them back to Christ. And far too often, myself included, we're guilty of being lazy in our service for God and when it comes to soul winning and giving the gospel. But this is a powerful thought. I've heard this from many different people, and it's always something that kind of sticks with me. And it's but do you ever stop to think about how many people are lost and on their way to hell who have died and will die and go to hell because you decided not to go soul winning, or you decided not to give someone the gospel? If you choose not to do that, their blood is on our hands. They may never have another opportunity to get the gospel, but God has a plan for you to give that person the gospel. But if you don't, but if you aren't faithful to the Lord, you don't go out soul winning, you don't try and reach the lost, these people are going to die and go to hell, and it's going to be because of us. Because we didn't, was we wanted to do what we wanted to do instead of doing what God wanted us to do. And just think about this for a second. If God based the size of your mansion in heaven on how many people you led to Christ, what would be the size of your mansion? Could you even call it a mansion? And God chose you to do his work, but now you have to choose him, and you have to decide in your heart that I'm going to do what God wants me to do. I'm going to reach the lost. And this brings me to my next point. It's you have a challenge. If you're still in Luke chapter 10, verse 2 and 3, I'm going to reread verse 2, and I'm going to read 3. It says, "Therefore he said unto them, the harvest is truly great, but the laborers are few. Pray ye therefore the Lord of the harvest, that he would send forth laborers into his harvest. Go your ways. Behold, I send you forth as lambs among wolves." And living the Christian life, it's something that's constantly under attack in the days in which we live in. Verse 3 says, "I send you forth as lambs among wolves." A wolf loves him some lamb chops. A lamb is a wolf's prey, and he's always wanting to eat that lamb. He's hungry, he needs something to eat. He's got a lamb sitting there, he's going to eat it. And the world is like the wolves and Satan. And we, as God's children, we are those lambs. The world is constantly, and Satan, they're constantly trying to attack us, devour our hearts, and they're trying to get our, and they're trying to take us away from God. Satan does not want you to live for God because he doesn't want you to have the ability to win other people to Christ. And when Satan's attacking people, he's not focusing on the drunk who doesn't go to church, who's living for the devil, because he already has him. He focuses his attacks on Christians like you and I, because if he can get us to fall, then he knows that our lives aren't going to influence anyone else. We're not going to lead any. We're not going to take that drunk, and we're not going to show him the way of the righteous. We're not going to lead him to Christ. And so he's always trying to get. He's thinking one step ahead. He's always trying to get those who have the influence. And in this world, it seems like we grow more and more wicked every day. Satan has a stronghold on a lot of today's generation. The devil uses things like drugs, alcohol, music, TV, and here's a big one, false teachings to take people's minds off of Christ. He has distracted us with the things of the world. And Satan, he's very crafty. He uses religions to take our minds, or to take our hearts away from the one true God. He uses things, the Muslim religion. He uses things like that and these other, there's been a big push for these like new evangelical churches, these non-denominational things, these churches, and that's been a big push where everyone's going there and everyone's wanting to and do that. And they're teaching that, you can dress like the world, you can talk like the world, you can listen to the world's music, go to the world's places, act just like the world. But as long as you go to church on a Sunday morning, then you're all okay. You're still on your way to heaven. And the churches these people are going to, they aren't preaching the Bible like it's meant to be preached. They're not spreading the word. And most of the time, these liberal churches, they're no different from the world. The environment is the exact same. The music's the same. There's no separation. "Come out from among them and be ye separate, saith the Lord." We are to be distinct from the world. And these new churches, they aren't distinct from the world. Standards are the same. Music's the same. Environment's the same. It's all the exact same. It's sitting in some of these church services, it's the exact same as sitting in some rock concert or something. It's the exact same. There's no conviction. They're not preaching conviction. They're not preaching the Bible. They're not preaching be ye separate. They're not preaching conviction or soul winning and reading your Bible. They're preaching that, well, if you do good, if you do one good thing a day, and you go to church on Sunday morning, our church, then you'll go to heaven. And Satan has taken people's minds off of salvation, and people now, they have a mindset that, like I said, everyone goes to heaven, but you just got to be a good person. God loves us. We have a God of love, which is true, but we also have a just God. God's love does not mean you're going to get into heaven without salvation. God's told us there's only one way to heaven. Romans 3:10, Ephesians 2:8-9. "For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is the gift of God, not of works lest any man should boast. Like I said, these people think their good deeds can get them to heaven and that they can do one good thing and go to church on Sunday morning and they'll be fine. But Romans 3:10 says, as it is written, there is no not one. Ladies and gentlemen, the Bible has not changed. God's word is the same yesterday, today, and forever. His word is everlasting. He's not going to change what he wrote, what this Bible says, to fit with the new trends and the new times of this generation. This Bible means the exact same today that it meant the day it was written. God did not write this Bible to change with the generations. It's the same today, yesterday, today, and forever. And we're going to have a lot. There's a lot of people who will burn in hell because they thought that they were good. They thought that they were good enough to get into heaven. Well, they said, I gave a dollar to that homeless guy over there. I'm good enough to get into heaven. And they think that's going to cut it. And then when they pass away and they wake up in hell, they're confused because they thought they did what was right. They thought, well, God, I thought I was a good person. How am I in hell? I thought I was good enough to get into heaven, because they don't understand it. But people have been so brainwashed by these false teachings that it's hard for them to accept that they are actually lost. And winning these people to Christ, it's a tough thing to do. They're set in their ways. They're not going to change. And I heard someone say this. I was out soul winning with someone, and they said, before you can get someone saved, you have to get them lost. And person said that to me probably 3-4 years ago, and that statement's always stuck with me. And if we don't try to witness to these people and show them the true ways of Christ, they're going to continue to die and go to hell. And you may say, well, it's too cold or it's too hot, and I've had a long week. I don't want to go soul winning today. I'd rather just stay here, eat some dinner, and relax and unwind. And their soul, that lost person whose door you might knock on that night, their soul ought to be a little bit more important than watching that TV show that you wanted to watch. Just think, what is the price that you're willing to put on someone's soul? Is you staying home for an hour and a half instead of going out soul winning, is that more valuable to you than someone's eternal life? I mean, think about it. That's a sobering thought. It's a convicting question. What is the value of someone's soul to you? And people are dying and going to hell, and nobody's trying to reach them. And it is our responsibility as Christians to show these people the way to heaven. And I'm not going to lie, it's going to be tough. And not everyone you witness to is going to be saved, but that doesn't mean you shouldn't try. They deserve the same opportunity that you and I got. It's not fair. We don't deserve it. They don't deserve it. But we got it. Why can't they get it? We ought to show them the way to heaven. God's given us a job. And sometimes that job isn't easy, but we still have to do it. Being a Christian, it's a full-time job. It's going to have its trials. It's going to have its triumphs. You're going to be on a mountaintop one day. You may be in the valley the next day. It's going to have its ups and downs, but you have to stay faithful to the Lord, and you have to stay faithful to what He's commanded you to do. Because the most challenging jobs are often the most rewarding. Like I think it was Colin said, don't you want to hear when you get to heaven, well done, thy good and faithful servant? Christian life's going to be hard. It's not going to be easy. But those words right there would make it all worth it to me. And it should make it all worth it to you. And like I said, faith, it has the power to overcome obstacles. Staying faithful in this world is an obstacle that we face as Christians. It's hard to stay faithful to the Lord. And faith builds strength in your relationship with Christ. And that you need that strength to live for the Lord every day. And without that strength, you will fail every time. And reaching the generations, it's tough. But do you have the strength and willingness to do it? I actually forgot to tell you the title of the message. It's Are You Grieved for the Generation? So if you've taken notes, you write that in there. And so I'm on my third point. I got this last point, and then I'll be done. And third point is you have a counselorship. 2 Timothy, I don't know if that's a word. I found it. I looked it up, and it said it was a word, but so I put it in there. But 2 Timothy 2, verses 1 through 6 is the verse I found for that. There it is. Let me turn there real quick. 2 Timothy 1, 2 through 6. And Paul, he's writing to Timothy. He's from jail, and he's about to be killed. So he's writing letters, and this is one he writes to Timothy. He said, to Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God whom I serve from my forefathers with a pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers night and day, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call, these next few verses are really good. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee, by the putting on of my hands. Like I said, point three is you have a counselorship. Think about this. Everyone influences someone. You may not realize it, but it's a fact that you will influence someone with your life. And like I said, you're not always going to know it, but your life will touch someone else's life. How you live, your testimony, it's going to have an impact on someone else's life. And it's a scary thought, really, how the way you live your life can either push someone to live for Christ, or at the same time, or if you're not careful, it can push that person to live for Satan, too. And someone can be motivated or influenced by many different things. It can come from music, TV, friends, family, church members, media, and countless other places. Today's generation, it has a wickedness coming at them and influencing them from every which direction. Everywhere you look, your music's telling you to live wrong. The TV's telling you to live wrong. Your friends are telling you to live wrong. And it's coming at you from every way. And it's hard to stay faithful to Christ when you're constantly being pushed to live wrong. And verse 5, where is it? There we go. It says, when I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. And your influence, the influence that you have, it carries on through generations. You don't realize it, but how you choose to live your life and how you choose to raise your kids even, that can branch off and influence generation after generation after generation. And so you don't realize the power that your life can have. And it can influence, like I said, it can influence a whole generation of people and generations for years to come. And do you have the influence on other people like the influence that was in Timothy? Can people see your influence through other people? And like I said, that last part of that verse says, where is that? Here we go. It says, and I am persuaded that it is in thee also. Like I said, can people see your influence in other people's life? How are you affecting other people? How are you influencing them? Are you pushing them to Christ? Or are you pushing them to Satan? And can other people see the power of Christ in your life through others? There's eyes on you all the time. Today's youth is always looking up to the generation above them. They're looking for leadership and guidance. And if they don't find any, from us as Christians, then they're gonna find it from somewhere else. And they're gonna be misled, and they're gonna follow whatever shows them some form of guidance. It's our flesh. Our young people need guidance, and you don't realize how much the young people, even to you older church members, you adults, you don't realize how much the young people in this church look up to you. And you know, you'll tell these young people, you know, well, you need to live right. You need to do what God tells you to do. You need to go soul winning. And oftentimes these young people, they'll listen to you, but when they show up on soul winning on Thursday, and they see that you're not there, they have the mindset. I speak from experience. They say, "Well, how's this person going to tell? How's so and so going to tell me to go soul winning to live right when they don't even do it themselves? Why is it important that I do it if they don't do it themselves? You got to lead by example, because if all you're going to do is talk, then people aren't going to follow you. People aren't going to grasp what you say, and they're not going to live and do what you tell them to do. And you know, if you want to have godly influences in the world today, then you have to lead by example. Young people aren't going to listen to you when you tell them what is right if you don't even do what's right yourself. Today's generation is in need of leaders, teachers, and counselors. You have the power to influence someone, but it's up to you how you're going to influence them. All right, I'm almost done. I'm going to finish this last little statement, and then we'll be done. Our generation, we need help, but it starts with your generation. It starts with the previous generation before us. You have to lead us, and you have to show us the way. Our generation is lost and on their way to hell, and we need some people who will stand up and truly be grieved for the generations. We need to have a heart to win our generations back to Christ, because when y'all are all gone, it's going to be my generation that's going to be the leaders of the world. And if you're not careful, and if they don't have Christ in their life, then we're just going to keep spiraling downhill. So we need generation. We need y'all's generation to be leaders and to guide us. And like I said, Romans 10:1, I read at the beginning of the message, says, "Brethren, my heart's desire and prayer to God for Israel is that they might be saved." What's your prayer tonight? What's your desire tonight? Is it that the world might come back to Christ? Is it that today's generation will find their way back to Christ, that they will be saved, that they'll start churches, that they'll lead other people to Christ? What's your influence on these people? What is your prayer, and what's your desire? They do always err in their heart, and they have not known my ways. Let's show the generations the ways of Christ. They're confused and they're lost, and they need us to show them, and they need us to show them the ways of Christ and the ways of the righteous. Let's pray. Dear Lord, thank you for staying.